if we'd open our Bibles this evening to 1 John chapter 5 and reading from verse 10. And tonight we'll be speaking on the seventh benefit or promise of God to us concerning our believing in His Son. And that is that we are given a special witness within ourselves of this relationship. In 1 John chapter 5, reading from verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the witness or the record that God gave of His Son. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we certainly acknowledge, Lord, Your word as being true. All men's words are a lie, but Yours is true. And knowing, Father, that You said that he that believeth on the Son of God, the witness is in him, Father. And so we're believing, Father, that there is a certain witness which You have borne witness to us. And that allows us, Lord, to recognize Your role and the relationship that You had with Your Son and the role of the Son and the role as sons. And so, Father, we commit our study of this word and we ask Your blessings upon it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our older brother. Amen. You may be seated. Notice, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, this verse of Scripture has two parts to it. Number one, it speaks of the witness, which is the Holy Spirit. And then it speaks of the record that God gave us concerning His Son. Now, the actual Greek word for both is the same. It's actually the same word for witness, testimony, and record. So, just that you might understand this. Now, but we will focus our thoughts tonight on the first part of this verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And again, we see this word hath being used. And this is actually the Greek word echo that's being used here. So we could read that as, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. Now, I probably could just close the Bible tonight and not have to say another word, because you could look at this word and just meditate upon it. But I'm going to talk about this witness a little bit so that we can get a better understanding. Now, again, we see that this word, that there's a difference between just being a witness and the witness. Now, it doesn't say that we have a witness within us. It says the witness. And we know that there is, when the article the is used, it refers to the Holy Spirit. And so we find here it says, for the witness beareth record, or beareth witness. Let me just read it again. 1 John 5 and verse 6 actually says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So, when it speaks of the witness, as we see in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. It refers to the witness spoken of in verse 6 that says, he that believeth on the Son of God, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So what bears witness is the Spirit. Now, we usually think of a witness as a person or another human being. But John tells us in 1 John 5 and verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And then he says in verse 10 that he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, not the witness of a man, he said, because the witness of God is greater. You see? So he's talking about the witness of God. All right? The witness. And what greater witness could there be than the witness of the Holy Spirit of God to us and through us? Now, to understand what John is telling us here, when he says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, let's turn to the book of Romans for our answer. Now, before we do that, just remember that if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. So, those people that do not believe that there is one God, He had a Son, they don't have God. Now, I don't say that to be rude or crude or crass or anything else, but that's what John told us in the Scriptures. He that believeth not the doctrine of Christ hath not God, echoes not God. And he that has the doctrine of Christ echoes both the Father and the Son. So, if you try to make Jesus his own Father, then you don't even have God. And that's what he's telling us here then. He says, now look, you that do believe in the Son of God, he says, you have the witness. You have the witness in you. Now, in Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Now the Apostle Paul says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice, the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we are not careful, we will read this verse completely the opposite of what it's telling us. And many Christians have wrestled themselves with this verse to their own destruction, because they have read it exactly the opposite of what it's telling them. And thus they place the emphasis on what they feel and what they witness within themselves instead of what God is witnessing in our spirit. Many will mistake their own inner voice or their own inner conscience or their own imagination to be this witness of the Spirit of God to them. And although they might be enthusiastic, or as Brother Branham would say, although they might be very sincere, yet they are proven by God's Word to be sincerely wrong. Therefore, when we read the Scripture, we should understand that it does not speak of our spirit bearing witness to anything, much less to the Spirit of God. But rather it says, the Spirit, which we note is speaking of God's Spirit, for there is but one the Spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the Spirit itself, then it is not speaking of another spirit, but the one and only Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. Not God's Spirit plus my spirit. And certainly it is not talking about my spirit bearing record of anything. But it tells us plainly that God's Spirit all by itself is what bears witness with our spirit. Now, usually we look at that just the opposite. We say, well, I bear witness with God's Word. Well, I bear witness with His Spirit. How many times do you hear Pentecostal people, you know, will my spirit really bear witness with His Spirit? Or with that Spirit? Well, that's not what it says. It says God is bearing witness with your spirit. You see, it's just the opposite. So we're not looking here at what we do. We should never look at what we do. Nor are we looking here at what we perceive, nor even what we feel in or with our own spirit. For our spirit has nothing to do with this verse of Scripture in the sense that this verse is not talking about our spirit witnessing anything. But rather it speaks of God's Spirit that is witnessing what is going on in our spirit. It speaks of what God Himself is, in His Spirit, is bearing witness with. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. So it is not what you think that counts anything to God, but rather what He thinks is what really matters. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, if you turn with me, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now the actual Greek says, we deceive only ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? It says we deceive only ourselves. Now, you might think you get away with it, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Your wife's going to let you know if you're not. Believe me, God put you together for a reason. And so it says we deceive only ourselves. You're not fooling anybody else. If we say that we have no sin, we're only deceiving our own selves. We're not deceiving anybody else. They know it. Your children know it. Your spouses know it. Your friends know it. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, and that means that we say the same thing about our sins that He says about our sins, and not try to cover them up or justify them, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Now those people who read Romans 8:16 wrong, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, they would read it as thus: our spirit beareth witness with His Spirit. The problem is that many people, in reading this wrong, they try to convince themselves that it is their own spirit that is bearing witness with God's spirit, and thus that makes them something. Oh, brother, did you feel the Spirit? I can feel the Spirit. And what am I doing? I'm trying to make myself something. And that's exactly what the people do. When they say that my spirit bears witness with his spirit, oh, can you feel him? I know he's here. I can feel him in my heart. Oh, yeah, you do? Wow, you must really be something. You see? And so when the problem is that many people in reading this wrong try to convince themselves that it is their own spirit that is bearing witness with God's spirit, and thus that makes them something. And they will not accept the sovereign position of God that he does not need them. No, rather, by taking the assumption that it is their own witness in their spirit and it is of their choosing, they null and void the witness of the Spirit and the choice that is reserved to God alone. For what good is your choice if it is not God's choice? And what good is it that you witness in yourself or in your own spirit that you are what God has not made you to be? Now think about that. What good is it for you if you witness within yourself that you are something that God didn't make you to be? Then you might as well forget it. You see? So it's not what you witness. It's not your choice. It's his choice. It's his witness that matters. Do you think that just because you feel it, that makes it right? Or as Brother Branham said, just because you say it, he said, doesn't make it so. I remember a man that once told me that it was okay that, he said it was okay with God that he divorced his wife. Brother Branham told the man it wasn't okay that he divorced his wife. But he said, well, he felt it was okay to divorce his wife because the other night he said, I'd been taking her on a ride on my motorcycle. And he said, I saw the a falling star go across the sky and I got, you know, all kinds of chills up my spine. And he said that when I kissed her goodnight, he said, the Spirit of God welled up in me. And I said, brother, that wasn't the Spirit of God. That was the Spirit of lust. And the man didn't know the difference between lust and the Holy Spirit. Just like these Christian so-called songs, you know, the women singing, you know, they almost sound like they're trying to seduce you. You know, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Well, that doesn't sound too much like seduction, but it's a pretty poor example. But anyway, you know how they do it. They think they're trying to seduce you or trying to, you know, it's a seductive spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Anyway. Okay. For what good is our choice if it's not God's choice? And what good is it if we witness within ourselves that we are to be something that God didn't call us to be? All right? Now, as I said, that man didn't know the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of lust. And the problem with reading the Scripture with the wrong understanding is that so many have done so for so long that it has produced only fanaticism instead of a heartfelt dying out to God and to self. Amongst the fanatical fringe, you will have those who are always witnessing in their spirit this, that, or the other. Ron, you know what I'm talking about. Jim, you probably know. You've been around that long enough, you know what I'm talking about. But the Scripture does not speak of what we witness in our spirit, but what God witnesses in our spirit. It says, the Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit. And how could the Spirit of God ever bear witness to just any spirit that is not born again in his own image? You think God bears witness with a prostitute? You think God bears witness with a denominational heathen? For to bear witness speaks of identification. Therefore, when we're talking about God bearing witness, his Spirit bearing witness with ours, we're talking about God identifying that you're his. And thus, when the Spirit of God witnesses to your spirit, it is not your human spirit he's bearing witness to, but rather his own spirit that has come into you and has made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. We use the term in our daily conversations and we say things like this. Well, I can sure bear witness with that. And what we really mean is that we can identify with that. What happens, though, is because of the fanatical mindset is also a very devoted mindset, devoted to their fanatical and fringe ideas, and because we see it as a devoted mindset instead of a fanatical mindset, therefore it is assumed by most observers that it is a sincere mindset, and after all, we do not wish to slam people because of they are sincere. But those who walk in this state become so heavenly minded that they become of no earthly good, and as a result they turn others away because of their extreme mental condition, and then when others steer as far away from that sort of mindset, they lose touch themselves with the inner conscience of the Spirit of God, trying to direct their soul into the deeper things of the Word, and thus they go on the starchy side. And it seems then that in Christianity we run into one extreme or the other. You either see those who are so void of sincerity that they come off as either very dry and starchy Christians, or on the other hand you see those who are so super duper spiritual, so super duper sincere, that their sincerity blinds you to the fact that they are so far off the truth that they become, or that they have become almost mystical in their approach to the Word. And everything to them has some great super-duper spiritual significance. I've seen a lot of people like that. And didn't Brother Brown say that we should keep in the middle of the road? We should keep a sufficient distance from that spirit of error and enthusiasm, and yet without denying the gift of God and His calling to us and our sensitivity to His Spirit moving among us and in us. Otherwise, we go to the other extreme. Dry, starchy, callous. You see, in order to walk with a balance as His children, we need to consider walking in His presence and having the proper fear of God. First, because after all, the fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is this witness, or what is this testimony of the Spirit? And the real question should be, what is the testimony of God's Spirit? And how does He, God, bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? Otherwise, we're just looking for just, you know, little things. I mean, just, oh yeah. Is that the Lord? It's like the old man, you know, down there in Mississippi years ago. You know, just anything happened, and you know, he thought that was God, you know. He played his guitar, he had a 6-inch pick, and he was going to pick the people right into heaven, you know. And it's that kind of fanaticism. But we've got to be careful about it, because you see, if we reject totally God's witnessing to our spirit, and or if we go the other extreme and everything is God's witnessing to your spirit, where are you going to be at? You're out in some limb someplace. You see? Therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is this witness? What is this testimony of the Spirit of God? What is the testimony of God's Spirit, and how does He, God, bear witness with our spirit that we are His children? Well, let's turn to the book of John, and we'll see what the Word of God tells us concerning this witness that God has concerning His Son. For here is the pattern that we must follow. Now, if you turn to John chapter 5 and verse 30, and we find Jesus speaking, and He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So there's your bearing witness to yourself, you see. But He says, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Well, you sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man. It's not John I'm talking about. But these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do. And they bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So he's talking about vindication. Now, what is true vindication? It's God's presence backing up. Correct? All right. Notice that Jesus is telling us that the witness of man, no matter who it is still not good enough. The witness must come from the Spirit or the Father himself. And he says in verse 37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify, which witness of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." Now, secondly, how is this joint testimony of God's Spirit and our own clearly and solidly distinguished from the presumption of the natural mind and from the delusion of the devil? We cannot even consider what is the witness of our own spirit. That is where man has gone so wrong in the past. Oh, brother, you know, I've seen people that just get so, you know, full of spirituality that they're just plumb loco. You know, Brother Bram tells a story about the man that went to Europe, and he went to Europe with a woman that had been married four or five times. And he said, well, you know, he started talking to Brother Branham about, you know, how the Lord showed me this and showed me this about her and gave me a dream about this and gave me, and Brother Branham said, well, you know, one of those kind. One of those kind. Well, that's what Brother Branham said. You know, one of those kind, he said. So we're supposed to know, you know, those kind. All right? Now, notice, the scripture says there is a way which seems right in the man, but the way thereof is a way of death. God also said in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." We also read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, "Hereby we know that we do know him, if we keep his word. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know that we are in him, that we are indeed the children of God." So God does give us a way of knowing, but it's not your spirit bearing witness, it's his spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Now Jesus said, "My spirit, my words are spirit, and they're life." And so we find here, he says, "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we know him, if we keep his word." So there's something about the relationship of the Word of God in your life that God looks down upon, sees his own Word reflecting as an echo from you, and he comes down and bears witness with that. It has nothing to do with your bearing witness to him. It has all to do with his bearing witness with you. Therefore, the only way that we know that our spirit is bearing witness with his spirit is that we keep his word. That is what the obedient son is all about. Not obedient out of fear or retribution, but obedient because we have the same thoughts that he has. The same thoughts that he has. And again, we see in 1 John 2 and verse 29, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." And again in 1 John 3 and 19, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts." Wow. Listen to that statement. Because we're not talking about your spirit bearing witness with him. We're not talking about your heart, whether it condemns you or doesn't condemn you. Because he says right here, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts." Now that ought to tell you right there that it is not what your heart condemns, nor is it what your heart does not condemn, nor is it what your heart bears witness to, nor is it what your heart does not bear witness to, but simply put, it is what God bears witness to that really matters in the final countdown. Now, I like this. I like this. Because how many times have you taken a stand for righteousness and someone come along and try to twist what you've done, and they make you feel terrible and you begin to feel condemned in your heart? Especially as younger Christians, you probably went through that a lot. And John says, I love what he says. He says, "Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. It's not your heart then, he's saying, whether it condemns you or doesn't condemn you. It's what God says about you. Therefore, it is not what you bear witness to in your heart. Because we are told in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Therefore, God does not leave it up to your heart to do or not to do, to know or not to know, to bear witness to or not bear witness with. But he knows the heart, that's for sure. And in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, we read, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the hearts. In Psalm 7 and verse 9, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. And it does not come down to what you do either. For there are those who think that they do, and even they think that they are serving the Lord, and yet in the final analysis, they are not even given credit for what they do. Jesus told us that they will say, have not we done this in your name and that in your name? And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Jesus said, I speak in parables so that they which echo, might have more, and they which think that they echo will have taken away even that which they think that they have. So it all comes down to this. God must bear witness with your spirit that you are a son of God. And that places the preeminence back in him where it must stay. And yet, how does it appear to these people that they can see themselves doing these great works for God when God himself doesn't even acknowledge their works at all? Remember we talked about last week. The Bible says that Cain offered unto God a sacrifice. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And it says that then Cain talked with Abel. And we look up that word talked in the Hebrew and it means he boasted. So he did this thing, got chewed out from God. God didn't acknowledge it at all, and yet he went boasting about it. So it comes down to this. God must bear witness with your spirit that you are a son, and that places the preeminence back in him, and yet how does it appear that these people can see themselves doing these great works for God, and God himself not even acknowledging their works? Well, if they do, and God does not think that they do, then it would appear that they are not really doing for God. Because God gives them no credit whatsoever. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Then the question still remains, how does it appear that they do love God, and they love their neighbor, and that they keep his commandments, and yet they're not given credit for it? But the question that arises here is not, how does it appear to God what they are doing, but rather, how did it appear to themselves? For to themselves they thought that they were identifying with God. They thought they were identifying with the Spirit of God when God did not identify with them. He said, depart from me, I don't even know you. So you can identify all you want with this message. You can identify with William Branham all you want, but if God is not identifying back with your spirit, what good is it doing you? Now, we must ask ourselves this question. What if this witness or this testimony, what is this witness or this testimony of the Spirit? And the real question should be, what is the testimony of God's Spirit? And how does he bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? Therefore, in examining the scripture that speaks of God bearing witness to our spirit, we must be careful not to think in terms of our own spirit is the one that bears witness, because the Apostle Paul is so far from speaking of the testimony of our own spirit that it may be questioned whether he's speaking of it at all. He does not speak only, or is he speaking only of the testimony of God's Spirit? Well, absolutely sure. He said, ye have received, in the verse right before that, he said, ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. And immediately he adds, the same spirit beareth witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. Thus the Spirit of God, witnesses this at the same time that he enables us to cry, Abba, Father. And as I've already said, the testimony of your own spirit, although a good thing because it keeps you in check, yet it is still a very deceiving thing because the heart is deceitful in all measures. Therefore, it is the witness of God's own spirit himself to your spirit and for your spirit. That is what counts in the final estimate. And let's face it, if we believe in the sovereignty of God, then our bearing witness to him adds nothing to him. Then what really counts is his bearing witness to you. The acts of obedience in doctrine, the acts of obedience in speech, the acts of obedience in your actions, the acts of submitting your will to God's will is an outward show that you have identified with your role as a son, but these, however, do not prove you to be a son. However, when you are proven to be a son by the witness of God's Spirit, then the acts will help you to understand the role of God that he has set down for you to play out as a son. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Now, in malice or wickedness, be ye children. But in understanding, be ye men. Every man applying those scriptural marks to himself may know whether he is a child of God. Thus, if we first, as the first is this, as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Secondly, you might reason that, well, I'm led by the Spirit of God. And thus you conclude, therefore, I am a son of God. But Paul said in Romans 9 and verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now our conscience is the testimony of our own spirit, that God hath given us to be holy of heart, and holy in outward conversation. It is a consciousness of our having received in and by the Spirit of adoption those characteristics mentioned in the Word of God as belonging to his adopted children. Thus we are conscious of having a loving heart toward God and a loving heart toward mankind, and we hang with childlike confidence onto God our Father's Word, desiring nothing but him, casting all our care upon him, and embracing every child of God with earnest, tender affection. A consciousness that we are inwardly conformed by the Spirit of God to the image of his Son, and that we walk before him in justice, mercy, and truth, doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. But still, in all of this, we can deceive ourselves. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Therefore, the witness in our soul, although very good, does not really matter. I can claim God as my Father all I want to, but until he claims me, what good will it do me? This is the very argument that Jesus had with the Pharisees. They began by claiming to be the seed of Abraham, and when Jesus pointed out to them that Abraham had two seeds coming forth from him, one by a promise and the other by an act of the flesh, then they claimed that God was their Father. And Jesus laid out the grounds for whom you can claim. He said, you will do the deeds of your father. In other words, Genesis 1 and verse 11, every seed after its kind. This is your witness in the Spirit. Let me say that again. Every seed after its kind, then this is the witness of his Spirit to your spirit. If you are a real son of God, you will do the things that your Father God shows you to do. So the witness in your spirit of the Spirit is the condition of your spirit in response to the will, to the call, to the edict of God. In John 8 and verse 32, we read, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. In other words, not just my word, but it's the Father's word. Mm-hmm. And you do that which you have seen with your Father, showing we have two different fathers. Mm-hmm. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication, we're not serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And remember, hear means to understand. You cannot understand my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Notice how they always go to the name calling. You notice that? They always revert to the name calling. And Jesus answered, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil, because Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keepeth my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is nothing. You see? It is my Father that honoreth me, whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say that I know him not, then I would be a liar just like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Notice. But what is the testimony of God's Spirit? How does he bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? It is hard to find words in any language to explain the deep things of God. Indeed, there are none that adequately express what we experience. But to the best of my ability, I can say that the testimony of the Spirit is an inward impression on the soul, whereby the Spirit of God directly witnesses to our spirit that we are a child of God, that Jesus Christ has loved us, and has given himself for us, and that all of our sins are blotted out, and I, even I, am reconciled with God. Mm-hmm. Now, the testimony of the Spirit of God must come before the testimony of our own spirit. We must be holy of heart and holy in life before we can be conscious that we are so. Before we can have the testimony of our spirit that we are inwardly and outwardly holy, we must love God before we can be holy at all. Because love is the root of holiness. Notice in a marriage, love is the root of sanctity in the marriage. Love is the root of non-infidelity. Love is the root of all the Ten Commandments. Now, we cannot love God until we know that he loved us first. We love him because he loved us. And we cannot know his pardoning love to us until his spirit witnesses it to our spirit. Since therefore his testimony of his spirit must precede the love of God and all holiness, of consequence it must precede our inward consciousness and thereof, or the testimony of our spirit concerning. Then, and not till then, when the Spirit of God beareth witness to our spirit that God hath loved thee and given his own Son to be the propitiation for thy sins, the Son of God hath loved thee and has washed you from your sins by his blood. We love God because he first loved us, and for his sake
we love our brothers also. And for this, we cannot be conscious to ourselves. We know the things that are freely given to us of God. We know that we love God and we keep His commandments. And hereby also we know that we are of God. And this is the testimony of our spirit, which so long as we continue to love God and keep His commandments, becomes a union, or as Brother Branham called, a spiritual union, with the testimony of God's Spirit, that we are the children of God. God's Spirit uniting with our spirit. It is He that not only worketh in us every manner of thing that is good, remember, it is His good pleasure to do His will, but also shines upon us His work, and clearly shows what He has wrought. Accordingly, this is spoken of by the Apostle Paul as one great end of our receiving the Spirit, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God, that He may strengthen the testimony of our consciousness, touching our simplicity and godly sincerity, and give us to discern in a fuller and strong light that we know, that we now do the things that please Him. As Brother Branham said, look, he said, I can do anything I want to do. All I want to do is to please Him. Why? Because God loved me first, and I've learned to accept His love, and now I can give that love back in return. You see, you cannot bear witness in your spirit with His Spirit until He has borne witness in His Spirit to your spirit. Should it still be inquired, how does the Spirit of God bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, so as to exclude all doubt and evidence the reality of our sonship? The answer is clear from what has been observed above. And first, as to the witness of our spirit, the soul is intimately and evidently, it perceives when it is loved and when it loves. It delights and rejoices in God as when it loves, and it delights in anything on earth. And it can no more doubt whether it loves, delights, and rejoices or not than whether it exists or not. Therefore, this being just reasoning, he that now loves God, that delights and rejoices in Him with a humble joy and a holy delight and an obedient love in a child of God, can in no wise doubt of his being a child of God. Maybe to put it down to a more earthly term, if you parents want your children to grow in love with you and to respect you and to honor you and to cherish you, you must love them, nurture them. And that's what God does to us. And we recognize His Spirit bearing witness with us as His children, that we in turn begin to do the same. That's what the echo is all about. That's why he says that he that believes in the Son of God hath, echoes, the witness in himself. Because the witness is the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's the record that God gave of his Son. And we begin to echo back the nurturing and the love and the caring that God has given to us. And then a Christian can in no wise doubt of his being a child of God. Thus the testimony of our own spirit is with the most intimate conviction manifested to our hearts in such manner as beyond all reasonable doubt to evidence the reality of our own sonship. The manner is this: how the divine testimony, God's word, becomes manifested in our heart. Such knowledge is too wonderful and excellent for us to understand. But the wind bloweth, as Jesus said, we can hear the sound thereof, but we cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. As no one knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him, so the manner of the things of God knoweth no one save the Spirit of God. But the fact that we know, namely that the Spirit of God does give a believer such a testimony of his adoption, that while it is at present to the soul, he can no more doubt the reality of his sonship than he can doubt the shining of the sun while he stands in the full blaze of its beams. In 1 Corinthians 2, I believe it is, what man can know the spirit of man except the spirit of man be in him? Thus, who can know the spirit of God except the spirit of God be in that man? Therefore, God witnessing by giving you of his spirit that you're his son allows you to know God. And by knowing him, you have the assurance and the witness in your spirit that you are sons of God. Beloved, now are you sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what you shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. Now the scripture describes the child of God as being born of God. And this event of being born of God must precede the witness that we are his children. Because until you're born of God, how do you witness that you are children? So it takes the new birth for you to begin to witness. Changing from darkness to light, from glory to glory, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, from death unto life, a resurrection, so to speak, or as Paul said, and you hath he quickened. Now, the joint testimony of our spirit and the spirit of God, our Father, is this, that we lay down our own will in favor of his will. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And that is the testimony of the spirit with our spirit. We identify and do the will of the Father, and that is how our will also identifies with his will. And that his will is preeminently in us over our very own will. Now, let me just in closing, read from Brother Branham's Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 24 elders. Beginning of paragraph 321, he said, sanctify this little church this morning, Lord. Sanctify every person in here with thy spirit, and let the Holy Spirit come into our hearts, each one of us. Freshen up the spirit in them who's already opened their hearts through their self-will, has denied their own will, and has come to know your will. Notice, who's already opened their hearts through their self-will, which has denied their own will, and has come to know your will. There you have it. It is a letting go of your own will and receiving the will of the Father. That is the witness of the Spirit, his will in your spirit. Brother Brown continues, paragraph 231, he says, how is self-will? Why will you call that self-will, Brother Branham? Because it puts a man and a woman back again, just like Adam and Eve at the Garden of Eden. On what? The two trees. Self-will. This one is death, this one is life. Self-will, free moral agency. God placed the first man, Adam and Eve, right here on free moral agency. He placed you on the same place. And the only way that you can get this thing fixed in here is your own self-will. Hallelujah. Your self-will. You have to will to do God's will. Remember, Jesus said, Father, I will that you do this for me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Brother Brown says, you have to get rid of your own will to let God's will come in. For this is the only channel that leads to the heart. Oh, you can join church. You Baptists and Presbyterians and you Methodists and Pilgrim Holiness can come to sanctification, but you have to will to do God's will. Self-will. To let the Holy Spirit come in here to bring forth. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and take up deadly things and so forth. These signs shall follow them that has let their will become my will. And the works that I do, they shall do also. I hope you don't miss it. There's a will to do God's will. You see what I mean. Now, the mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat's in the heart. The seat is where the shining forth of his glory in all of his children, the Shekinah glory in the human heart. Here's the human heart. Is that right? Is that the mercy seat? How do you come through it into that? Through these different systems, through self-will. Self-will comes into here.
And through there comes out what? Shekinah glory. What is the Shekinah glory? It's God's presence. And when a man's walking, or a woman, he's reflecting the Shekinah glory. He don't go into gambling dens and carry on and go out here and there and deny the word. No matter what the people says, he's got his heart set on one thing, and that's God. And if he truly, God called, then Jesus Christ reflects himself, there's your echo, reflects himself through him with the Shekinah glory, doing the same thing he did back there, manifesting the same gospel, preaching the same word, being made manifest in the same measure it was then. Just like it was truly at Pentecost, it's measured back again. Oh my, he says. So in conclusion, 1 John 5 and verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. And the witness we echo is God's Spirit. I could use the other word that it's translated as. He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the record in himself. In other words, the same life that Jesus gave, the same life that he lived, the same giving of his own will, you do the same. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, knowing, Father, that it's not our feelings, it's not our emotions, it's not some spiritual or supernatural thing, but Father, simply you're bearing witness to us by giving us life, by allowing us to become sons. You said, he that receiveth me, to them have I given to become sons. And we know that that means that you've given us an opportunity, not an opportunity, but you've given us, Lord, an ability to make a right decision, because you've given us your mind. And Father, it only makes sense. When I came to this word, Father, it just made sense to me. It wasn't some great supernatural experience. Simply, this word just makes sense. Nothing else makes sense outside this word. And Father, that's the mind that you've given to your bride, to your children, actually. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves, knowing that, as Jesus said, let this mind, or as Paul said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. Father, we're being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Not by our spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to this change, knowing that without change, Father, we are doomed. But rather, you have caused us to be changed from image to image and from glory to glory, Father. And we're looking forward to the body change soon. In Jesus Christ's name.